Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to another Sunday of Urban Society. This is a Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio, and you're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Okay, I figure I will let everybody know that for the holiday breaks, we will be off. That is, the whole Dollhouse Radio staff will be enjoying the holiday break from the 21st of December, which starts tomorrow, on through January the 3rd. So therefore, this show, Urban Society, won't be heard again until, let me look at my calendar here, make sure I have it right, until the 10th of January. So there's like a two-week break, actually. And, yes. So, well, that's what we're going to have. We're going to have our Dollhouse holiday breaks. And so at this point, I'm going to wish everybody a happy holiday and a happy new year to be. Okay, we have a lot of issues to go into tonight. Let's see, our first issue is going to be the Supreme Court hearing on affirmative action. And our second topic will be Donald Trump. And the topic after that will be Spike Lee's movie Chirac. And then political correctness, what is it? I think that's how I had worded that. What is political correctness? A little bit on that. Okay. But before we go into those topics, as we know, I like to go into these miscellaneous issues first off. And first off, something interesting happened tonight. Well, something is always interesting on Facebook. But I will say a nephew of mine, he had posted something on Facebook, a video clip of the movie Panthers. If we had seen that movie, it was a depiction of the Black Panther Party, a movie about it. And what he did after I had written what I had wrote, he posted up there, I guess, some kind of a mime, giving me the Facebook Academy Award for the best comment. Anyway, what I had said there was, in response to the post that he had posted, and the words, he had some words with the post. The words were, when we weren't afraid to stand up for our rights. And in that particular clip, video clip that was shown, I'm not sure what part of the movie it was. It may have been the beginning of the movie, and therefore when the Panthers were first noticed, recognized by the people of that area there in Oakland. It had showed some brother being beat up by two cops, and then all of a sudden the Panthers pulled up in a vehicle and got out the car, and things started from there. And like I said, the caption read, when we weren't afraid to stand up for our rights. And what I had written there, which caused my nephew to put the mime up there, Facebook Academy Award for the best comment. I had written, many of us were afraid then too. It was just then more of us were standing up than now. Yet the standing up of those before us is the reason a lot of us are now in a position to be in a sitting position in the workplace. Yet that's another story. And then I had written a part that cracked me up in this quasi-pictorial representation of the Black Panther Party was at the time of the Huey P. Newton shooting. If I'm not mistaken, the same cop that's in this clip smacking out his chewing gum is the same one who told Huey, "You can take that book and shove it up your ass, nigga." Simultaneously, the bastard was pulling out his revolver to blast Huey. And then I wrote, I shouldn't laugh at that part, but I do. Why? Because it's real. That's how the racist mind thinks when it comes to us. Laws aren't applicable to us in their racist mental formulations. And that's definitely true, as we see daily with the constant police shootings of black people throughout this country. And then again, you know, as President Obama has said on a number of occasions, unfortunately, though, in different situations, he had said concerning gun violence more so, that the type of gun violence that happens here in this country, but he is more so indicating when some white person picks up a gun and just goes berserk and kills a whole lot of innocent individuals. Obama speaks on that in terms of that not happening in any other civilized or industrialized country. But it happens here, and there must be reasons for that, he's insinuating. However, in me saying that, it makes me realize that although our president says that about white men with guns doing that, he doesn't speak in the same vein concerning police violence against black people in this country. Because in a real sense, in no other industrialized country does these type police killings take place. And blacks are all over this world in civilized, no, I shouldn't say civilized, but industrialized countries. Those things don't take place. Because I recall when I was in Germany for something like 12 years, I almost want to say 13 years, but I didn't go to 13 because I try to stay away from that number. It's true. But I'm not exactly superstitious, but I just don't trust that number. But anyway, when I was in Germany for the 12 years that I was there, at no time had I heard of German police accidentally or otherwise just shooting some citizen there in Berlin, Germany. It didn't happen. And I was there for 12 years. And, you know, even while I was there, I couldn't help but remember and then again remark to myself and others that here in America, police are always being involved in shooting some citizen. But over there, it didn't happen. And then when I came back here, almost immediately, 1996, some guy, I think it was maybe 1996 or 97, 98, some guy named Patrick McDuffie was just shot and killed by plainclothes police people. And then again, another guy, Charles Campbell, was also shot by an off-duty cop. I mean, the whole time I was in Germany, 12 years, stuff like that never happened. And the question can only be, I mean, why? But again, there's no why to that. But I brought up all that to say, you know, that President Obama can speak about, you know, those mass shootings of, you know, some individual white person, but yet he don't speak in the same vein that these police shootings don't also happen in other industrialized countries. Just interesting. But all that came from, thinking about the Black Panther Party. And also about my nephew giving me the Facebook Academy Award. Interesting. But also still a miscellaneous issue that I wanted to bring up. It concerns this guy, some teenager, Ethan Couch, C-O-U-C-H. He's the guy who some years back had, I guess we can say actually, he had been charged with vehicular manslaughter. I guess not necessarily homicide, but vehicular manslaughter, wherein he had run over and killed a couple of people. And now he's on the run. Because evidently, the way the story goes, he had violated his probation, which was, I guess, not to drink. Because when this situation happened, this unfortunate happening took place, he was under the influence of alcohol. So I guess a stipulation of his probation was no alcohol for, I guess, for the 10 years probation that they gave him. But anyway, they gave him 10 years probation. He didn't go to jail. But vehicular manslaughter, that's jail time. But anyway, I bring this article up because earlier in the week I was at the workplace and I was passing by a television and I had heard that they was talking about some guy who was on the run who had affluenza. And I didn't quite catch the word at first. The word I had caught was influenza. And I'm thinking, what the hell? Some guy's running around sick and making other people sick with this viral contagion, this influenza. I'm thinking, what the fuck? I mean, what's next? But then when I got home, I heard more about this report. And then I realized that they weren't saying influenza, but they were using the word affluenza. So not having heard that word before, affluenza, in this kind of context, I knew what the word affluent meant, but I didn't connect the word affluent with affluenza. Anyway, I looked, I checked my dictionary, almost on my Android phone, and I spoke the word into it, and it came up with this guy's lawyer basically came up with that word, affluenza. It's supposedly a affliction that affects the wealthy because of their affluence, because of the money that they have. And, you know, affluent riches, you know, such an abundance of money. And therefore, you know, he couldn't control himself. I mean, he has no real concern for anything. Nonsense, BS. But this guy's lawyer came up with that term to get him off of the charge of vehicular homicide. Just out MF outrageous. We've got a few seconds here before we go into our first music break. But still, I couldn't believe that. And I said, just outrageous. Affluenza. What a word. What a term. It also reminds me of that other word that is applied to the wealthy. Kleptomania is supposedly a affliction that the wealthy have when they steal something or are addicted to stealing. It's not theft. is Kleptomania. But anyway, we're going to go into our first music break now. It's 15 minutes to the hour. We're going to hear a song from Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. So this is Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. We'll be right back. Society here on Indie Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage, the song Mirage from Sheree Lurie. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in, let me hear from you. So going back into this article here, this miscellaneous article about this kid, 18 years old he is. And, well, like I said, what got me interested in that, number one, was the word affluenza, thinking I had heard influenza, and this guy is running around sick and making other people sick. And influenza is deadly. So I figured there's another Ebola type situation, but no, not even that. But also, something that also struck me about this being all over the news, number one, in the media, was just that this was all over the news. But yet, that situation with that cop who had raped all those women in Oklahoma barely made the news. In fact, didn't make the news until after the guy had actually been convicted. That was the news. Not that he had raped those women, but the fact that he was convicted of raping those women. That's what made the news. But this guy, I mean, I had never heard of this guy before. This thing took place in 2013. And again, if the word affluenza hadn't caught my attention, I would have passed right by the television. Really. Well, anyway, that was that. out MFing rages. So, another miscellaneous article that I have here, but it is of importance, is the situation with that incident that happened in Spring Valley, South Carolina, with that cop slinging that child all over the room and manhandling her the way he did. And this situation here still pertains to the fact that that girl, charges may still be pinned against her. And not only her, but the girl who took the video, and I guess, well, yes, the girl who filmed it, is also facing, as they say, legal repercussions. Well, let me read what I have here. It says here, legal repercussions against the two black teenagers are still possible, even though Fields, that's the guy who threw that girl all over the place, that cop, that what do they call him, SRO, whatever that term was, some kind of officer for the school. This guy Fields was fired for how he conducted himself during their arrest. Both girls face a misdemeanor charge of disturbing school and, if found guilty, could be fined up to $1,000 or face 90 days in jail. Just outrageous. See, the nonsense just don't stop. And then it goes further to say that this organization, Color of Change, is trying to prevent this from happening. It says here that they say that these two young women have suffered enough without the justice system dragging out the process of eliminating these ridiculous charges, said Rashad Robinson, Color of Change executive director. And then the solicitor, I guess he's either the judge or prosecutor in this situation. The solicitor, Dan Johnson, has the ability and opportunity to do the right thing. By failing to take action, he has aligned himself with far too many prosecutors around the country who criminalize black youth while failing to hold police accountable. Just outrageous, outrageous. And then this article also says that sadly, what is happening to Shakira and Naya is no isolated incident. There is a racially biased system of school discipline across the country. Well, it's like that's old news. That's not new news. But it's just outrageous that when these things do take place like this. Number one, I mean the overall situation of that cop having just trashed that young child like that nothing can be done other than, I mean, you know, protestations, and as they say, going through the legal system, which only legitimized, well, actually, by going through the legal system, they only seem to legitimize the actions that have been taken against this or that black person. It's just outrageous, just totally outrageous. So moving right along, going now to this other situation with the mistrial in the case of cop involved in Freddie Gray's death, and the article the headline says raises tension over potential riots in Baltimore. I mean, what else could they really expect? I mean. But anyway, well, the trial is still ongoing. I mean, this guy, this cop, the jury couldn't find anything to charge him with, supposedly. So it was a mistrial. And it had been said that maybe they didn't understand the charges as read, so they couldn't actually come to an agreement as to what they could or should charge the guy with. But let me go to the article here. It says that Baltimore was on edge Wednesday following a mistrial in a racially charged case involving a cop charged with involuntary manslaughter in the police custody death of an injured black man. Well, they say black man, but the guy was, what, about 18, 19, 20, a black youth, therefore. But already, like they like to say, in the eyes of society, blacks always appear older than what they're not. But perhaps that's only with police purposes or when we are some kind of trouble, because in other situations, black men, and I guess women too, are normally told that we look younger than what we are not. I mean, but if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. Because I have heard that, you know, even in my case, I'm told that I don't look the age that I am. I say, oh, well, God bless for that. But then again, I guess black children look older than what they are. So I guess I don't know. Let me not even go there, because that's just talking into nonsense. Anyway, the article goes further to say it. But the trial of the first officer charged in the case ended with a hung jury, and city officials say they were doing all they could to prevent a repeat of the chaos and turmoil that gripped the city for days. William Porter, 26, was the first of six officers to face trial. Authorities said Gray, 25, okay, Gray was 25, so at least, yeah, well, he was still a young man, okay. Authorities say Gray, 25, died from a spinal injury he suffered while riding in the police van. Prosecutors said cops loaded Gray into the van without using any of five available seat belts and then ignored his pleas for medical assistance. Interesting. But still, like has been said before concerning this particular situation, based upon the video that we had seen with the two police excuse me, carrying Freddie Gray, or more so carrying, dragging, because it was obvious that he couldn't move on his own volition. His legs weren't moving, so therefore they were in fact carrying slash dragging him to the police van. So it was obvious that he was already injured, hurt, and hurt bad. But this guy is like a mistrial. I mean, they couldn't see that somewhere negligence was involved there, premeditated or not. You know, some type of criminal negligence should be instituted against all of them who were there. But as we know, that really happens. That really happens. And it does say here that a jury of five black women, three black men, three white women, and one white male was unable to reach a verdict. And then it goes further to say, setting the city up for a tense showdown between much maligned cops and frustrated protesters. But you know what? The jury, that's something there also. I mean, the individuals who comprised this jury. I mean, it's obvious to that proverbial duck that these jurors weren't living in a vacuum or a, let's just be facetious, a dark bubble, and therefore didn't know nothing about this case. Didn't see the condition that Freddie Gray was in when he was being carried slash dragged to that vehicle. already something had happened to him. But no doubt it said, okay, well, we don't know what happened because we didn't see what happened. Unfortunately, there was no video to show how what happened to him happened to him. Because no doubt before the police rolled up on him, he was walking fine. But after whatever they did to him, he was no longer able to walk fine. So therefore, I mean, the criminal negligence should be labeled on some of those people, some of those officers. Oh, but what I was going to say about the jury of 5 black women, 3 black men, primarily the 5 black women and 3 black men. I mean, thinking logically, one would think in this instance that blacks on the jury would more so than not be in sympathy with the public outcry. But that may not necessarily be the case, because as we today watch TV, and then again, I'll use an extreme example. For those of us who watch Fox News and or might happen to see Fox News, as I do from time to time through Facebook feeds and stuff like that, they have this sheriff up there, Sheriff Clark, and mentioning him, I'm very well prone to believe that those 5 black women and 3 black men, they more so than not had his kind of mindset in terms of, you know, thinking like white folk, in the sense that police really can do no wrong because they're only doing their job against a potential criminal element or a aggressive criminal element, which would be black people in this case. You know, they have no sympathy for their peers, let us say. They have no sympathy for other blacks who might be who might have these police encounters. They kind of figure that, well, you must have did something, because no police person is just going to jump on you for nothing. Little do they know that that's exactly what a lot of police people do. And also the article, just saying, going back to the article, the last part that I had read there was a jury of 5 black women, 3 black men, 3 white women, and 1 white male was unable to reach a verdict, setting the city up for a tense showdown between much maligned cops and frustrated protesters. And it goes on to say here that the Baltimore mayor, Stephanie Rollins, has said that we have to respect the process. We will not and cannot be defined by the unrest of last spring. If some choose to protest, they must peacefully demonstrate. That is their right. Collectively, our reaction need to be one of respect for our neighbors. Well, that's what she says. That's what she said. But at the same time, what I think about is that unfortunately, there was no respect for Freddie Gray. None whatsoever. None. And no doubt, supposedly he was a neighbor of those people who comprised that jury. But yet there was no respect for him. And the article goes further to say that within minutes of the mistrial ruling, a throng of uniformed officers ringed the courthouse. They pushed back a group of a few dozen protesters and arrested at least 2 people, one of whom appeared to swing at an officer. Well, I had to read that part because it kind of slipped up on me. But that's what they said, one of whom appeared to swing at an officer. How does he appear to swing at an officer? That could be a question to that person who wrote this. What made it appear that he swung at an officer? But that's what the guy wrote here. And it goes further to say that among those appealing for peace was Gray's family. And it says here that that Gray's stepfather, Richard Sheepley, had said, "We ask the public to remain calm and patient. We are confident there will be another trial with a different jury. We are calm. You should be calm, too." And I guess this is the same stepfather that the media had put out there that he was, what was it, an illiterate former heroin user or something like that? Or was he, or did they say that he was a illiterate or uneducated heroin user? I forget which, but that also came out. But anyway, it's 5 after the hour now. We're going to go into another music break from Takara Hamilton, her song entitled All In. So this is Takara Hamilton, her song All In. We'll be right back.
Flix, Amsterdam, Amsterdam.com.
All in.
Banger.
You ain't never got a question what it was or what it is. Baby, you're a blessing. You are everything I need and more. You ain't never gotta worry about me loving you. You are all I want. You know I'm all yours. When you're not here, it's like I'm lost with no clue. It's crazy but amazing. I'm so in need you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. So baby, let's see if you're you are my love, I got it for you.
And quality and
I hope
today.
To be forever, forever and another lifetime. What we got is oh so special. You hold the key to my heart, I know. I never gotta worry about you hurting me. Trust and loyalty, you give that to me. Can't you see that you're my missing puzzle piece? It's crazy but amazing, I'm so in need you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. So baby, let's see if you're
welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morella Dollhouse Radio. We just heard the song from Takara Hamilton entitled All In. That was Takara Hamilton. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Okay, leaving the Freddie Gray issue, as depressing as it is. But you know what? It's highly possible that none of those cops could be charged with any wrongdoing to Freddie Gray. Just outrageous, outrageous. And yet they talk about the people of that area remaining calm. But, you know, that, well, in my opinion, that's the reason why these things keep happening. because we remain calm in the face of these egregious murders that take place. Well, I'm not saying that we should riot or whatever, but something other than being calm has to happen. Because, I mean, how does that phrase go concerning force? Something about, I can't get it right now. The brain is rushing. Anyway, there was something else I wanted to have brought up also. Last week I had read into the show about those two black police officers who had they were in a car chase, and the car was finally stopped, and the driver of the vehicle was shot, not killed. However, his six-year-old son was killed in this in the aftermath of the car chase. And the thing is, those two black police officers were basically arrested instantaneously. But yet, in these other situations, I mean, a whole lot of days have to go by, months even, before any charges are even thought about, you know, being processed. But in the meantime, when these white officers are not charged, we're constantly told about the process and how they have to go through the investigation. But with these two black cops, there was no investigation. They were arrested instantly. But anyway, I had written something in reference to this on Facebook a while back. What I had written was this is in reference to the two black cops killing, first off, you know, the small child. Totally unfortunate due to the car chase. I had written, this is a whole new can of worms. Black cop wound father and kills child after a car chase. There's no incessant talk or questions of why did the father engage the police in a vehicle chase. A question was asked of the police person at the podium, what caused the chase, but the police person gave no answer to that question. Instead, he went into the shots that were fired and how many guns were used. That would have been a pertinent answer. Question had been how many shots were fired and how many guns were involved in this incident. Then I wrote, this is interesting. We have to know more about this case than what's been told and or not been told. Can it be these police persons were judged and arrested so quickly because they are black? A valid question based upon what it takes to arrest a white police officer for killing a black person. The reason for the chase has yet to be stated. Can this be a situation of, regardless to what had been done, death should not have been a result? However, isn't this what black folk are continuously saying after some white police person kills some unarmed black person? It certainly is. But I just wanted to have read that in the show because I had meant to put it into the show a while back. But indeed, it is a whole new can of worms. Totally. Indeed it is. And thus far, so far, we haven't really heard nothing else about that incident. Well, I know I haven't. I haven't heard anything else about it. But anyway, moving right along, I had also ran across on the internet an article, supposedly, from some psychologists. They say, this article says, people who curse a lot have better vocabularies than those who don't, this study finds. And the article says, if someone's ever accused you of sounding less intelligent because you swear too much, don't worry. Science has got your back. A new study has found that those who have a healthy repertoire of curse words at their disposal are more likely to have a richer vocabulary than those who don't. This challenges the long-held stereotype that people swear because they can't find more intelligent words with which to express themselves. Psychologists Christine J. and Timothy J. of Maurice College and the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts came up with the hypothesis that people who are well-versed in curse words are more likely to have greater overall language fluency. Also, and the article goes further to say, publishing in the journal Language Sciences, the researchers also found that expressive curse words were generated at higher rates than slurs, and there was little difference between what the female and male participants could come up with. Again, it went further to say they found that the ability to generate curse words was not an index of overall language poverty. In fact, they found that taboo fluency is positively correlated with other measures of verbal fluency. That's what some psychologists have said. But then again, as we know, psychologists say a lot of things. Psychologists are like that proverbial they. What I mean by that, you know, when a person say, well, they said. And then me, when having heard that so much, I've come to say, well, yeah, they say a lot of things. They said. But some psychologists have said that. But you know, could be true. Maybe it's not true. But then again, more so than not, like in all cases or most cases, it depends upon the individual involved. Because also just saying having read that, I had to write something in response to that on Facebook. And what I had written was, I'd have never guessed psychologists would come up with such an analysis or proposition. I had realized long ago that a person able to use profanity wasn't necessarily a sign of one not being able to express themselves due to lack of an adequate vocabulary. I had evolved to realize not only could I use profanity proficiently, but also grammatically. And then I went on to write that some motherfucker had me curse him out viciously. When I got home, I remembered what I had said to him. I decided to write down what I had said to him. As I'm writing, I realize, oh shit, this is a paragraph. The only non-profane words in that paragraph were if, and, or but, and you. Actually, I was then shocked that I had said that to that clown, but I needed to have let him know. So like I said a long time ago, I came to realize that that saying wasn't necessarily true, but I would also say that it is, well, it could be, then again, it maybe it isn't. But again, that's why I say, I guess it depends upon the individual as to why he or she would use profanity. And then I had also wrote of another, well, I had wrote of another situation that just happened. Well, let me say this also. It's been a long time when profanity for me was more so like a second language. It's been like now at least 15, 20 years. Because I had left Berlin, Germany in 1996, and 2016 is coming up soon. As a matter of fact, a few days, it'll be 20 years. So it's been almost like 20 years since I've had to curse like that, curse people out like that. But anyway, just about a year or two ago, I was living in this rooming house, and this guy, a real AH, figure that one out, because I don't want to use that word, because I'm going to use some more of those words right now. But anyway, I had written also like check this out. Some guy had called me a faggot on an occasion. I replied to him, "I got you a goddamn motherfucking faggot, you goddamn motherfucking son of a bitch." Actually, I try not to talk like that, but some MFs make me talk like that. I mean, really. And the thing was, I happened to have had a woman in my room when, because like I said, if I did say I was living in a rooming house at that point in time, and I had a friend in my room, and she heard me say that. I had thought she heard me. I felt kind of, you know, embarrassed that she had heard me come off like that, because I didn't talk like that in front of her. But anyway, she said, "Wow, you really told him." But you know, but he made me say that to him because some other stuff had already happened, and that was just it. He gonna call me a faggot. Yeah. But anyway, so I mean, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. Psychologists are now saying that a person who curses is not necessarily indicative of them having a poor vocabulary. It could be a sign of them having a expansive vocabulary. But again, I say it depends upon the individual. So again, moving right along, let's go on into the affirmative action situation. Okay, you know, I kind of did some digging up on this affirmative action thing, and what I found, I had gone to Wikipedia, and it says that the term affirmative action was first used in the United States in executive order signed by President John F. Kennedy on 6 March 1961, which included a provision: employees are, let's see, what is it, how it says, taking, all right, it says, on 6 March 1961, which included a provision that government contractors take affirmative action to ensure that applicants are employed and employees are treated during employment with regard to their race, creed, color, or national origin. It goes further to say that in 1967, gender was added to the anti-discrimination list. And then it also goes to say here that in the United States, affirmative action has been the subject of numerous court cases, and in 2003, a Supreme Court decision, Gruttner versus Bollinger, permitted educational institutions to consider race as a factor when admitting students. And then it also goes into how several countries did this and that in reference to affirmative action, but let us stay with this country. Okay. And the article goes further to say that opponents of affirmative action, such as George Scheer, believe that affirmative action devalues the accomplishments of people who are chosen based on the social group to which they belong rather than their qualifications, thus rendering affirmative action counterproductive. Opponents who sometimes say that affirmative action is reverse discrimination further claim that affirmative action has undesirable side effects in addition to failing to achieve its goals. For example, the idea of mismatching suggests that affirmative action might place students into colleges that are too difficult for them, increasing their chances of dropping out. And basically, with that Chief Justice recently, Scalia, that's basically what he said. He had said that last part about the idea of mismatching, whatever that might mean. But then again, no doubt, they do have a meaning for that term. The idea of mismatching suggests that affirmative action might place students into colleges that are too difficult for them, increasing their chances of dropping out. Interesting. But, you know, as I had just read there, there have always been opponents of affirmative action. Just as there have been and still are opponents of affirmative action. But what I wanted to say also, going back historically, that is, just as there have been and still are opponents of desegregation of schools, because we are actually still embattled with that issue, desegregation of public schools that are paid for with all of our tax dollars, those of us who pay taxes. That's still an issue, desegregation of public schools. But again, concerning, but okay, we have to stop now because I almost launched off into a tangent on something else. But we're going to have our music break now. It's now 25 after the hour. And we're going to have a song from Rebecca Jada, her song entitled Galaxy. This is Rebecca Jada, Galaxy. We'll be right back. Society here on India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard the song from Jada Galaxy entitled, Rebecca Jada entitled Galaxy. That was Rebecca Jada Galaxy. Okay, we're still in this issue of affirmative action, but let me give our caller number here first, which is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And as I was saying, still here on the issue of affirmative action, you know, basically it's, It's in the wording. Words mean something, as I've said before, if we allow them to. Sometimes, even if we don't, they just some words just do mean something. So I believe. But anyway, it's in the wording here. When John F. Kennedy first said, take affirmative action to ensure that applicants are employed and employees are treated during employment without regard to their race, creed, color, or national origin. There, where it says without regard to their race. You see, because in a real sense, what a lot of people, can I say, fail to realize or don't want to realize or don't want to recognize, that there was a time when people were not hired for a job or whatever because of their race. Creed, color, national origin, that's another issue. But primarily, people were not hired or given this or that service because of their race, which was considered discriminative or discrimination. And then here comes affirmative action, saying that we have to take affirmative action to alleviate this situation of people not being hired because of their race, or not being allowed to do this or that because of their race. And then now we have the opponents of affirmative action using the same argument that they are being denied something because of their race, but at the same time not realizing that it's not the same thing. In many cases, that's just a smokescreen for them to say that they are being denied this or that because of their race. Because in the case of, let us just say, Caucasians, they can go to any, let's use colleges, universities, they can go to any university that they choose, so long as they are qualified to get into that university. And that is without affirmative action. Always had been so, without affirmative action. But yet when it comes to, let us just say, use black people as a prime example, there wasn't always a time wherein we could go to any university or college that we wanted to. We were basically excluded. So with the concept of affirmative action, I guess basically it's action which, see, it's the wording here. I guess, as I'm saying, with affirmative action is the action which is affirming that we can go to this or that place. See, like I said, it's in the wording. It's in the language. But again, that's affirmative action, as I'm saying. There was a time when black folk just couldn't go to any college if it wasn't a black college because of discrimination, because of racism. And then again, let us not forget that other situation, too, of just school segregation. And this is public schooling. Again, schools in which tax dollars are used for funding these places. But again, that's another issue there. But they got us all caught up in a serious bind, trying to figure out what is what and what isn't what. So anyway, this whole thing, affirmative action right now, is back up in the news again because of that Justice Scalia talking about how he don't think it's proper for affirmative action, in a real sense, to put a hindrance on or to put a handicap on blacks who are seeking higher education. This is what he's saying, but I'm saying what he's saying in other words. He's essentially saying that affirmative action by allowing a black person to go to this or that college is like putting a burden on them, primarily because in his mind they're not intelligent enough to be in that school, which is totally asinine. But again, that falls back on the opponents of affirmative action, and no doubt this Justice Scalia, he is an opponent of affirmative action, and therefore he is racist. He has to be racist, because if he weren't racist, he wouldn't have that opinion about black people seeking higher education and then having the mindset that they're not equipped, mentally equipped enough to seek higher education. Just outrageous. And the thing is, still, we are still going through this now, today, 2015. This issue should have been settled back there in 1961, and then again in 1968, when President Johnson reaffirmed the concept of affirmative action. It should have been settled back then. But again, you have those opponents of this measure in our government, our politicians, our mayors, our elected officials primarily. You had some who were in favor of affirmative action. Then you had those who were opposed to affirmative action. And again, this Justice Scalia, he's one of them who are opposed to affirmative action. He's made it loud and clear that he is. As for the other justices, matter of fact, I've even heard that Clarence Thomas, he too is opposed to affirmative action. But that's another issue there. But then again, yes, it is another issue, but it still is an issue. And I think I won't even go there. But anyway, I have this article here that it says was written by some scientists who got together and were in disagreement with Justice Scalia's take on affirmative action. And let me just read some of that here, because I find it highly interesting due to the fact that they are scientists. They are astrophysicists and I think mathematicians even, these guys are. So higher education, they've been there. And it says here that dear justices of the Supreme Court of the United States, we are writing to you today as professional physicists and astrophysicists to respond to comments made by justices in the course of oral arguments of Fisher versus University of Texas, which occurred December 9, 2015. First, we strongly repudiate the line of questioning from Justice Antonio Scalia based on the discredited mismatch theory. Secondly, we are particularly called to address the question from Chief Justice John Roberts about the value of promoting equity and inclusion in our own field, physics. We share the outrage and dismay already expressed by many other groups and individual scientists over the comments of Justice Scalia, which appeared to endorse the claim made in the amicus curiae brief of Harriot and Krenzenau that affirmative action prevents black people from becoming scientists. We take this opportunity to strongly rebuke this claim and offer a rebuttal. I don't want to go into all that article because these guys, they do say quite much. But let me just go on to the end of it so I can continue to move right along. Let me see here. I'll just come to this part here where it says, because to read that part is kind of, disjointing it. I'll just start here. It says that we reject the premise that the presence of minority students and the existence of diversity need to be justified. But meanwhile, segregation in physics is tacitly accepted as normal or good. Instead, we embrace the assumption that minority physics students are brilliant and ask, Why does physics education routinely fail brilliant minority students? This is what we see when we look at minority student in a majority white physics class. Determination and an ability to overcome obstacles and work hard in stressful environments. We see this because we know that many students from minority backgrounds are subjected to social and political stress from institutionalized racism, past and present, a history of economic oppression and societal abuse from both microaggressions and subtle racism. We believe that it is these qualities that make minority students able to succeed as physics researchers. The implication that physics or hard science are somehow divorced from social realities of racism in our society is completely fallacious. The exclusion of people from physics solely on the basis of color of their skin is an outrageous outcome that ought to be a top priority for rectification. The rhetorical pretense that including everyone in physics class is somehow irrelevant to the practice of physics ignores the fact we have learned and discovered all of the amazing facts about the universe through working together in a community. The benefits and equity are the same for physics as they are for every other aspect of our world. I can pronounce that word, but not right now. The purpose of seeking out talented and otherwise overlooked minority students to fill physics classrooms is to offset the institutionalized imbalance of power and preference that has traditionally gone and continues to go toward white students. Minority students in a classroom are not there to be at the service of enhancing the experience of white students. We ask that you take this consideration seriously in your deliberations and join us physicists and astrophysicists in the work of achieving full integration and removing the pernicious vestiges of racism and white supremacy from our world. That's what those scientists had to write to those silly justices in or on the Supreme Court, really. Okay, I was going to read something also on that Amy, was her name Amy Fisher? No, it's not Amy Fisher. What is that girl's name? Anyway, the Fisher girl who has been used to ignite this affirmative action suit in the courts, Abigail Fisher, not Amy Fisher, but Abigail Fisher, that's her name. I was going to read something on her, but no, I'm not going to read that. I'm not even going to read about the Stay Mad Abby situation. I'm not going to read about that either. But what I do want to go into quickly, as time is passing here, as usual, I want to read something on that idiot, that clown, Donald Trump. He's a part of this situation, too. Maybe because he's running for president, this Justice Scalia and these other Supreme Court justices are filling their oaths and feeling that because Trump is there, they can come out and say what he's saying, or they can come out demonstrating that they think the same as he, and therefore like the majority of those who are following Donald Trump at this point in time. But anyway, first off, I want to read something that I had written here about Trump. I had written this here. I said, I from time to time hear some people on the media or the media talk of Donald Trump being an intelligent man. Why do they do that? What has he, Trump, ever said that borders on being intelligent? I agree with Dr. Stacey Patton. Donald Trump is a fool with money. Some might ask, how can he be a fool and yet have the millions of dollars which he said to have? I simply suggest to you all who ask this question, look around you. Look at the individuals even in your own immediate circles, basically. Because I learned a long time ago that just because a person has money, that don't mean they have intelligence too. And in too many cases, money and intelligence somehow don't really meet. The occasion is rare when money and intelligence are like symbiotic twins, so to speak. I'll leave that alone. But like I said, just because a person got money, that don't mean that they have any intelligence whatsoever. It don't mean that at all. But anyway, I wanted to also go into this article about some Trump supporters. And this article is entitled White Nationalists Among Donald Trump's Most Enthusiastic Supporters. And it says here that this article says that some guy named Jay Taylor is a believer in what he calls race realism, a belief system that includes the idea people are happier when they can live only with members of their race, and people of color are endangering the majority that white Americans have held for centuries. He has questioned the ability of black people to live in civilized society, and his website, American Renaissance, says one of the most destructive myths of modern times is that people of all races have the same average intelligence. Taylor, a white nationalist, is also an enthusiastic supporter of Republican frontrunner Donald Trump. And this guy, Taylor, says that Trump, is really the first candidate in many years whose policies are not going to kowtow. He has taken a very straightforward position on keeping Muslims out, for example. Can you name a single good consequence of mass Muslim immigration to the United States? I sure can't. I mean, but the ignorance there. I mean, like, when was there ever a mass immigration of Muslims to the United States? And this guy asked the question, can you name a single good consequence? Can you name a single good consequence of mass Muslim immigration to the United States? He says, I sure can. But when was there ever a mass immigration of Muslims to the United States? In other words, he's talking as if there was one, but it had no good consequences. The idiocy, astounding. But again, that's Donald Trump. Those are the people who, that's the mindset of those who follow him, who listen to him. I, for one, I don't like to see his face on TV. I mean, it's irksome seeing his face on TV. And never mind listening to what he has to say. Like I said before, I turn the TV, either I put it on mute or change the channel or just turn the TV off completely. I'd be so done, so through. I just can't take it. I just might get on the internet. I don't know what I do, but I might even go for a walk. Haven't did that in a while, but sometimes I might even just decide to do that. But anyway, this guy, these are the kind of people who follow Trump. And again, it kind of I don't want to say unnerving me, but it's just outrageous that the media gives this guy so much airplay, so much airtime, as if they don't realize he's racist, and that they don't realize that he's speaking to a larger segment of racists in this country, and therefore, in a real sense, stirring up trouble. Because in a real sense, that's all those idiots need is someone like Trump to be there and to have a national platform for them to feel that they can do whatever they want. And I think for the good of this country, well, a good part or a good thing with our country, I would say that for the past, I'd say, well, no, not even for the past 20 years, but I would say that until the advent of Trump and this presidential election situation, I mean, the races were more so at bay than not. I mean, you know, the racism was there, was really there. But I think that perhaps we didn't really see it as much as we are now seeing it with Donald Trump out there on the political stump. I think that's fair to say. They're more so coming out of the woodworks now, those idiots. And then again, no doubt, that could be a reason why there's an uptick with all that nonsense on college campuses. And I guess it must be a situation wherein the blacks on these college campuses, they're just not going to have it. I mean, because I guess, I mean, it probably, well, was there before, as I just said, but it probably wasn't so brazen, you know, so upfront as it no doubt is now. And again, you know, the black students who are there, they're not having it. And they're not wrong, not at all, not at all. And then also I did have this article about those black ministers who were going to meet Trump, and Trump made it appear, well, Trump was talking about how he was going to be endorsed by like 100 black ministers, and it turned out that it wasn't that exactly. But then again, anyway, there were some black ministers, some black people, who were there to listen to Trump. I would say outrageous, basically, totally outrageous. I did have, yes. I have this article here also, Trump, leaving Trump now, and then going to this other idiot, this woman. They even call her a political columnist. Her name is Ann Coulter. She's on the same level as that other racist white woman. What's that? I can't believe I forget her name right now. This is Ann Coulter here, and that other woman. Laura Ingraham, another idiot, another racist idiot. But anyway, quickly here, this Ann Coulter. I have this article here that says conservative commentator Ann Coulter said that the U.S. should close its borders for 10 years and ban left-wingers who hate America for corrupting the U.S. immigration system. Also, according to Coulter, the demographic that has suffered the most from immigration are African Americans. She needs to stop talking about us because she's just full of bull cookies, basically. It's just outrageous. Anyway, she said that also, according to Coulter, the demographic that has suffered the most from immigration are African Americans. When did we immigrate to this country? You see how these people are? See how they talk? Oh, sorry about that. But immigration, we never immigrated here. We were kidnapped and brought here. But she wanted to use another word, immigration. Particularly, it's African Americans who are hurt the most by all of this low-wage immigration. Is driving their wages down, killing them in the job market, she said. But then again, you know, there's always talk about us being in majority black populations. Well, more so the black population of this country is constantly facing huge unemployment, and if not huge unemployment, underemployment. So what is she talking about? But yet here she is talking. And that's another thing. Coulter continued. We all know where African Americans come from, right? Africa is, in fact, their homeland. The whole world knows the story of how they got here, but evidently she don't, because she just spoke in terms of immigration. Anyway, she says the whole world knows the story of how they got here, the whole slavery thing, blah, blah, et cetera. That's what she said. Don't you think they've had enough of the American dream? Don't you think it's time for them to leave America to the people who actually made it great? And then it says that asked whether she feels white people should also be deported back to their home countries throughout Europe. And that's a good question, a valid question. Anyway, Coulter became defensive and justified the colonization of America. Now, wait a minute, she says. I said black people should be deported back to Africa. And therein lies the distinction why white people should remain. White people colonized this continent. Oh, well, I'll just leave it like that. But you see how she goes, how she talks. She just says anything just to say anything. Just outrageous, outrageous. But also, I have wanted to have gotten into the situation of political correctness as to, asking the question, what is political correctness? Because when I would hear Donald Trump sometime, he was somewhat lamenting the situation of political correctness. In other words, I think that, let me just read what I got here from the internet. It says political correctness, commonly abbreviated to PC, political correctness, is a term primarily used to describe language, policies, or measures which are intended not to offend or disadvantage any particular group of people in society. Those who use the term are generally implying that these policies are excessive, like such as Donald Trump and those like him. Oh, that's just political correctness. But like basically, as I just read there, political correctness, I don't like the term myself, but it is a term. And actually, it also comes from the Communist Party. That's another story there, too. You know, if you weren't ideologically in sync with the communist line, they considered you as politically incorrect. But if you were in sync with the party line, then you were politically correct. But that's a different interpretation of the nuance of that word. But as I'm saying, though, political correctness, in the sense that it's used right now, it more so indicates, you know, a person basically thinking before they speak, considering what they are saying before they say what they say. And yes, in terms of to whom they are speaking with. And also seeking not to give offense when offense is not needed to be given. But these people who belittle the term political correctness, these are the people who don't think at all. They're like that person that I just read about, that Ann Coulter, and also that other idiot, Donald Trump, and also that other idiot, Laura Ingraham. They just say whatever they want to say. You know, truth be damned, consequences be damned, logic be damned, rationality be damned. They don't care what they say. But then again, the truth of the matter is that the people whom they are talking to, they know also that they don't care because I guess they don't think. They really do not think. Or if they think, they only think in terms of, I guess we might say, for lack of a better word or term, a group mindset. And that group mindset that I'm thinking of when I use that term, group mindset, is that racist mindset. It's a mindset that's skewed or off-centered with the natural mindset, so I believe. But okay, we've got about a minute left here, and I don't want to over-talk into the show. So I will leave off where I began with reminding everybody that Dollhouse Radio will be on our Christmas break starting tomorrow. And it will go until the 23rd, actually. So the next airing of any Dollhouse show will be not next Monday, but the 4th of January. That's when we will begin to rebroadcast. So with that having been said, I'm going to say again, hopefully everybody will have a good holiday and a good new year to